at James, that great book of instruction.
Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. We're going to get into our Father's Word. I kind of want to talk on a subject that I think sometimes we get a little careless with, and that's Thanksgiving. You know, our Father gives us so many things. And I want to take an example of someone here on earth. If you really save for a special gift to someone you really care for, and you give them that gift and they just turn around and walk off like, I mean, we have an old saying here in the South, don't say kiss my foot or anything else, just walk off and act like it was an everyday thing. It doesn't make you feel good, does it? Well, it doesn't make your Father feel good when he gives you things and you just cut him out of the picture. Unfortunately, to unbelievers, it would be, oh, it just happened. Just happened, got lucky. Our Father takes care of his children. He gives us many blessings, and we fall short in as much as we take so many things for granted, like good friend. Hey, do you realize how valuable a good friend is? Somebody you can talk to, somebody you can lean on a little bit. And your family, think about it. God sent, and some might say that's an accident, but God sent all souls. Now, he may send one we have to be a little special patient with at times, like myself perhaps, that can be a little ornery at times, that you have to learn to love them with that peculiarity, because we're all different. And that is love, is loving someone. For example, in my ministry, I try to pass everything off as, well, every church should at least have one like that, you know. And that way it's easier to love them even with their faults, if we want to call them that, instead of peculiarities. That you learn to love them even with that, because that's them. That's their personality. That's the way they are. But what a blessing they are. Do you ever thank your Father for them, or do you just take it for granted that that's the way it is? He gives us so very much, and it's his promise that he will take care of us. So Thanksgiving is something. How about your family when it comes meal time? You know, God created the old earth that all food grows from, and he brings the blessed rain. Even in places man never sees, he still waters the crops. I mean, all nature is his. He's supernatural, which means he's more natural than the rest of us. And he takes care of everything. He sees to it. Now, I realize that he utilizes man. We might say, well, the old farmer said, you should have seen that 40 when God had it all to himself. You know, it looked so nice after he cleaned it up. Well, that's true. We found that sometimes maybe it looked better the way it was before man touched it in certain places. I speak of many times that we have foiled his perennial. By that I mean that's an agriculture term meaning plants that take care of themselves from year to year by themselves. Perhaps man has interfered with that. But all in all, the very air we breathe, sometimes we don't give thanks. And when that family sits down to that meal with that, the good food comes from the good soil, always thank him. Remember when Christ fed the multitude? What did he do? He blessed the food and then gave it to the disciples to feed the multitude. And it was done in an orderly way. He didn't feed the mob. He made them sit down by 50s. But he himself gave thanks. It makes your father feel good to be recognized. He has feelings just like you do. I know I say that a great deal, but beloved, it's so important in your life. And many people say, well, I wonder why my prayers aren't answered. Well, have you thanked him for what you already have? Think about it. Thanksgiving is something that he loves the same as you do. If you do a good deed for someone, sure, you give God the credit, but you still, it makes you feel good when someone says, I really appreciate that. I really thank you from the bottom of my heart. It makes you really glad that you did it. Well, your father's the same way. It makes him glad that he has done a blessing for you when you recognize him for it. So it's just one little thing that you might say, well, when can I do this? Well, I'll go really for those that are really new in the Lord. You don't even have to say it out loud to say, thank you, Father, for this, or thank you for helping me in this and giving me the wisdom. Have you ever thanked him for the wisdom that you have? The knowledge from his letter? Have you ever thanked him just for sending the letter? This perfect set of instructions that teaches us how to get along, how to be prosperous, how to help others. That's just the way he is. Always thank him for it. I suppose to do this, we're just really going to kind of be laid back as we talk about Thanksgiving and look into the hearts of some people. And I think we'll start in the 11th chapter of John, and we're going to take two sisters and a brother. They were called Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary, after all, she was the one that anointed the Lord Jesus Christ and anointed him, and even within that washed his feet with her very hair, as you'll find in verse 2 of this. God, Jesus really loved them. Now, I want to, before we go into it, I want to show you that Christ always teaches on a little deeper level also. That Lazarus is the Greek equivalent of Eleazar. Eleazar. And it's who Eleazar was that makes this very important. And that's where the real meaty truth just bounces forth, in Christ having given life to Eleazar, to Lazarus, that is to say. It goes back to Aaron's first three children, that is to say, the two elder and the third child's name was Eleazar. And the two older brothers, hey, they were priests after the order of Aaron. I mean, they, as all priests do perhaps at times, if they're not careful, they began to be a little too laid back. And it came time for the evening oblation, and their fire had gone out that they lit the burnt offering with. So rather than going to the place to get the true fire, they just kind of took a shortcut and raked a few coals out of the old stove. I mean, you know, this is maybe some... what are we burning today? Chips or whatever? And you people from the rural, you'll know what I mean. We don't know what was in that fire that they took the coals and kind of piled them on and went down. And the moment they put that strange fire, meaning a fire that did not come from the altar, bam, God killed both of them. God doesn't mess around, especially with his sacred things. So the third son then, Eleazar, became the priest of priests. He was a good man. And what Christ is telling you within this, that he's bringing life back into the priesthood of Eleazar. And Eleazar or Lazarus, either one, means whom Yah helps. He wants to help you. And in that priesthood, you're going to be helped. But you've got to be thankful. I mean, after all, Father created your very soul. That soul that is you. And he wrote this letter to you. So he wants you to know that he's there to help. But you have to do it his way. Now, you all know the story that Lazarus, I mean, he died. And the two sisters were there. Jesus was off in another part of the area when he died. And the sisters thought, now if the Lord had been here, he could have just touched him and healed him and he wouldn't have died. But they didn't quite, at this time, have the knowledge that to believe upon Christ, you never die. The flesh may die, but the man, woman, or child doesn't. The soul, being the spirit, being the intellect of the soul, returns to the Father instantly. So that's basically what's behind this. But these people were really, Mary, as a matter of fact, so loved Jesus that she took that expensive ointment and anointed him, ointment that is to say, and anointed him, and with the tears actually washed his feet. So she really loved him. But did she really know what he was saying about life? You know, sometimes we only see and believe what we can see. Well, he's dead. He's sure dead. There he is, just dead in a hammer. Okay? And we don't see that there's another dimension which has to do with faith, that the spiritual body in that dimension we can't see. So, with that foundation having been set, let's go to verse 32 and pick it up there for the sake of time. John chapter 11, verse 32, what does it say? Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And again, look at this on the deeper level as Christ will. He wasn't dead. Christ knew he was already greeted by the Father, that he was in good shape, all was well. 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews, that's to say the children of Judah, also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I mean, it was impossible for them at this time to see that he was the gift of life, that he gives us eternal life. Lazarus believed. He was a believer. And he groaned because he couldn't see, he could not show them that Lazarus was in a far better place. Verse 34, and he said, where have ye laid him? Question. And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. 35, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the entire Bible. Jesus wept. Seeing the human side of us and realizing how difficult it is to bring one, their mind, their spirit, into the real truth of the plan of God and his love, that he's not the God of the dead, but he gives his children life. Verse 36. Then said the Jews, those of Judea, behold, how he loved him. I mean, they saw him, the Lord, crying, and he really loved Lazarus. Well, that was true as well. 37. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Couldn't he have stopped it? Verse 38. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Now, understand, with Lazarus being a believer, Christ had given him eternal life. And they were missing the entire mark. All they could talk about is the death of the flesh. Verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now there was a philosophy at this time that you didn't bury anyone, that the soul was still lurked with and around. I know why they would come to that conclusion even then, because indeed, as a pastor, I have observed in the transition of death visitations of a loved one that had gone on before. I have also felt the presence of a spirit that comforted a loved one. Verse 40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Do you know what the glory of God is? Life. Life, eternal life. That is the glory of God, that he has defeated Satan, he has defeated death, and he did these things through Christ, his Son, his only begotten Son, for the benefit of all his children. You've got to believe. Lazarus believed, so he had already inherited that right where he was. But to document that the Levitical priesthood was being raised again, the true priesthood through Christ after the order of Melchizedek, whereby you could believe and practice 41, not the old law, but the New Testament. 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, now listen to me, listen to the Lord. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You see, Jesus didn't forget to give thanks. And he sets forth a very important message to you today if you want God's blessings. I really fear that sometimes we get in a gimme mood too much, or mode, I should say. Gimme mode. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. And unfortunately, a lot of them have a bunch of gimmies already in hand that they never even took the time to say, Lord, I really appreciate this. I'm so happy for the blessings you have brought forth in my life, my loved ones, the beautiful mate, perhaps, if you're older, or parents or whatever. Oh, there are exceptions. But he also gives us the wisdom to overcome. Jesus thanked him. He had a point, and he thanked the Father at this time. Let that be a benchmark in your mind to remember that when a blessing is received, thanksgiving should be returned. It makes his day, and it brings more blessings. It makes him glad that he has blessed you. Otherwise, he might not be so glad that he blessed you, which means your blessings down the road are going to be a little thin. That's just the way it is, friend. An oversimplification by a teacher? No way. That's not oversimplified. That's exactly the way it is. Thanksgiving is one of the most important things in your communication with your Father. If you wish blessings to continue, don't ever forget it. That at this critical time, with that stone moved away, something that had only happened, one time by Elijah the prophet, that someone was raised from the dead, the widow's son. Remember? Verse 42. And I knew that thou, Jesus talking to the Father, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Said what? Thank you. He said, I know that you know what I'm thinking. Why? He was Emmanuel, God with us. But in saying it, he was teaching you how important it is to say, thank you, Father, for hearing me. Because God always hears you. That's a promise. He may not answer you in the manner that you would like, but He will answer it in the manner that is best for you, always. Do you want me to say that again? He always, it's His promise, He will always hear you if you believe. He may not answer in the way that you request because He loves you. Therefore, He will answer in a way that is best for you. In other words, if you have a 3-year-old that loves dragons and snakes, and says, "Mommy, I want a 5-foot rattlesnake. I just gotta have me a big old timber rattlesnake, 5 foot long. Are you gonna give the little rascal a 5-foot long timber rattlesnake?" I think not. Why? Well, it'll bite him. Well, that's the same reason God, many times when you ask for something, well, you hear of these people that get in these prosperous things, it's, "I want a Cadillac." And it just didn't come. Well, maybe you'd have killed yourself in it the next day. And besides that, if you'd had a brand new Cadillac, you'd have been so puffed up and felt you were so somebody that you'd forget to say thanks. And it would take your Christian humble attitude and make you think you were really somebody driving that Cadillac. "Look at me, neighbors. Woo, I'm driving my new Cadillac." And you forget to be a humble Christian and forget from whom blessings flow. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? God always hears His children if they believe. And to say thank you beforehand. Christ is thanking him here. Had Lazarus come forth from the tomb yet? Answer, no. It's important. Verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" Verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound head, hand, and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." Now there were two miracles happened here. Do you know what? Do you know why he said he's bound from hand? He was bound hand and foot. Have you ever seen a mummy? How can a mummy walk? A mummy can't walk. Then how did he come forth? Think about it. His face was covered. He couldn't see how the way to get out. So you see, there were two miracles here. And the real priesthood was loosed. It came forth by the power of God. Somebody, well, did he float? Did he levitate? He just came out. The power of God, the finger of God, simply brought him forth. So that what? So that they would know, number one, this was the Son of God. And number two, they would know why he would have used thanksgiving. All right, now for the sake of time, I wanted you to see how that before the fact, Christ had already thanked our Father. All right, now let's go to the Corinthians just a moment. Perhaps I spent more time on that than I intended to, but I really feel it was important. Let's go to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And we'll begin with verse 1 here in this chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have, this is Paul naturally is teaching. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we think not. We don't give up. We don't quit. Why? We have a ministry. What is that ministry? The ministry of Christ. The ministry of our Father. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things, that's to say the cunning things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, we didn't take this ministry and think of all these cunning little ways we could raise raise money. We didn't think of all these cunning little ways we could con people into security blankets of, you know, make it easy for them. They don't know any better. They all think on this level. And if the teacher should be ashamed if everyone thinks on that level, because the sole purpose of a teacher is to raise the level of thinking, the knowledge, the wisdom. So who is the failure in this case? Not the people, but the teacher. Cunning, when God's pure truth does so much more for people than cunning things. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, that's to say it's veiled to anyone, it is hid to them that are lost. That don't have eyes to see. In whom the God, you notice that small g, that's not an uppercase G on that. We're talking about a different God. In whom the God of this world, well, who's that? Well, that's Satan. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whom is the image of God, looks just like God. If you've seen Christ, you've seen him, should shine upon them. Satan does everything he can. He's our opposition. And you want to know that he's going to cause you all the problems you can, so you don't want to faint at every little thing. You got to be tough. You got to be a can-do type person. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We don't call this the wonderful, glorious TV ministries of Paul, the mission and the chapel of Paul, Paul's ministries. We don't call it that. Yeah, I know I might be digging my old spurs in pretty good, but hey, if it cuts, let her bleed, it'll heal over. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. We don't preach ourselves. We preach the Word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse. 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Satan's the prince of darkness, but God outshines him, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. To give what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, rather. He paid the price, and it is his face that shines. It is his face that, having paid the price, dispels darkness, ignorance, in other words, biblical illiteracy. Verse 7. But we have the treasure in earthen vessels. I mean, we even have this treasure, the Holy Spirit, in our flesh bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to teach and to do God's work. Thus, it is God that does it, not us. Do you understand? That's why we should say thank you. I hope that will help you say thank you a little more, realizing that God has his hand on you a great deal more than you might think. 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Some days it seems like everything goes wrong, but we still thank God, because we know as believers we're going to win, because we're can-do type people. Verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken. God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Cast down but not destroyed. Cast down, get up. Don't be a poor me baby. Oh God, why did he leave me? He didn't. You left him. I don't particularly care for crybabies. That's not to say that I don't like people that shed tears at a moment of emotion. I'm talking about poor me crybabies. A man that can't be a man. I've known invalids that were the biggest men that I'd ever witnessed in my life as far as being a can-do type individual. couldn't walk and still were more of a can-do person than somebody that could. Think about that for a moment. 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. It is He that protects us. It is the Holy Spirit, though the flesh we know is temporal. We know that there is a spiritual body dwells within this one that is the true us. 11. For we which live are always delivered in unto death for Jesus' sake. We get a lot of troubles. Why? The God of this earth, Satan. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Mortal meaning liable to die. It will. That even in the mortal flesh, with Christ with us, we can defeat Satan. Hey, we can take names and kick dragon. Can-do type people. Why? Because of God, our Father. Don't ever forget, Father, we thank you for that. For that power. For it's not our power, but His. 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. In other words, we always face that. The flesh is death. It's going to die. But the eternal life is in you when the Holy Spirit is there, when it is brought to you and you receive it. You become a believer. 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. And you might recognize Psalms 116:10 here in a little bit. Paul was a great scholar of the Hebrew. 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. That's the ultimate. That's what a Christian looks forward to, is having run the race. Having won we've got the guarantee of the victory coming out the gate, even in the flesh. Get knocked around a little bit, hey, no problem, can-do type people. It's no wonder that we have the victory, because Satan's nothing but a dead man just waiting to shake his head and his head fall off at the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. All this suffering we do is for your sake. That's to say, bringing the gospel to you. That's what Paul is saying. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving. That's why we came here. Don't ever forget this part. Might, through the thanksgiving of many, it should be all, redound to the glory of God. It's worth it to have those people say, thank you, Father, for giving us these things, for giving us the strength and the patience to overcome adversity in our lives. That you don't have a bunch of sniveling weaklings down here on earth walking around, that with the spirit that you give us, thanks be to you. That we are somebody, we're can-do type people, we can cut it, we can get it done, because you're with us. That's why many should say, thanks be to the Father, and mean it from your very core. 16. For which cause we faint not. That's why we don't faint when it gets a little rough. But through our outward man, but though our outward man perish, though this flesh is going to die, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, bigger, bigger, stronger, stronger, closer, closer to the Father, taking names and kicking dragon, doing Satan in and being a part of it. That's the inner man. That's why that Jesus was a little disappointed and wept when Lazarus had switched to that spiritual man. And that's not to say that death is the path, because we have work to do here. We've got a lot of brothers and sisters out there that are lost. And it's a cop-out to look forward to death when you got work to do. That's the reason you were sent here. Verse 17, for our light affliction, it's just a little old bit of trouble, which is but for a moment, it passes. I want you to stop and think for a moment. When have you ever been in trouble that it didn't end and you think, whew, I really had a lot to worry about there. And it didn't amount to a hill of beans, did it? Why? Your Father brought you through it, and you should have said, thank you, Father. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It doesn't compare to the glory that is written in the book of life by your name. 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, you can see the flesh body. I mean, here it is. You have the image of my flesh body right before you. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. This thing passes away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what's important. Which is important? The flesh, it goes back to dust. But the spiritual soul, body, being is eternal. Why? Because our Father gives us light through life through the Son. Isn't that something? And isn't that reason enough to say, thank you, Father. Thank you for my food. Bless it to the use of my family's body. Thank you, Father, for giving us the victory. Thank you, Father, for having already sentenced Satan to death, and we know it, and that gives us power over him through the Son, through the Spirit. We have so very much to be thankful for. I don't want you to let this day go by without you thanking him for being so good to us. Once you do that, all right, bless your hearts. We'll have another lecture on this again in the following. Listen a moment, won't you please?
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
All right, bless your hearts. There we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, 1-800-643-4645. And that number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, please never ask a question about a specific denomination or another belief or religion. I don't make comments against anyone. I teach God's Word as it is written and let the chips fall where they may. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world at this time, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, you got a prayer request? Have you received something you didn't thank him for, you forgot? Now's the time. Let's just make his day, all right? Father, around the globe, we come in thanksgiving, Father, for all these wonderful things that you have given us, Father. Our blessings. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much for it. Lead, guide, direct, touch, Father, now in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, let's see what's on the minds of people around the country. And we've got, who do I have here? Steve. And Steve is from California. Question, could you please point out some scriptures or places in the Bible where I can find some answers relating to the subject of living paycheck to paycheck and how to get out of the rut. Do you have a tape on the subject? Well, all of God's Word basically tells you how to do that, but you use the gray matter and always keep a set of books. You need to. That's called a budget, if you prefer to call it a budget. It's just books on what you have and how you're going to use it. And avoid usury. Interest paid on, I really upset a lady about saying usury wasn't good, but it's the Bible that says that, not me, and it isn't good. You know, when you get up around the 18% mark, there's no way out for you. You're going to pay more in than you're going to get out. You're going to become a slave from payday to payday. That's the way it is. So the way you avoid that is by budgeting yourself. If you don't have the money to buy something, you don't need it right now. It's something you can plan for and look ahead, and when you do get it, it's going to be so much more meaningful to you. You're going to be so much happier with it. And sometimes I use the cliche, if the old washing machine plays out, get a piece of baling wire, and you don't have the money to buy a new one. If you do, buy one. Replace it when it's shot. But otherwise, you can get by. We're can-do type people. We wire that rascal together and thump its old gourd once and let her knock and hammer, but we start making payments immediately for a new washing machine, and it's going to only cost you half as much. All right? You've got to plan, and plan your day. I always like to get up at least an hour earlier than I have to and just meditate and plan what I'm going to do and what my alternate, naturally being a pilot, I'm going to have an alternate course. If this goes wrong, I'm going to do it this way. And thank the Lord for wisdom. That's the way you break it. All of the Bible and use common sense. Corey from Florida. Since the Canaanites, that's to say C-A-N-A-A-N-I-T-E-S, were descendants of Canaan, sons of Ham, how is it possible that they were on the ark? They weren't even alive then. These Kenites you talk about are a figment of your imagination, because they're not mentioned in the Bible. Boy, are you, I don't want to say stupid, biblically illiterate maybe. Don't you ever read the Bible? Don't you know how to work a concordance? Kenites are not Canaanites. Canaanites were the offspring of Ham and Noah's wife. To uncover your father's nakedness is to sleep with his wife. All right, that's why it was Canaan that Noah ran off instead of Ham. Should have run both of them off. Anyway, son, you don't know what you're talking about, all right? Besides, in the Hebrew tongue, the word Kenite means sons of Cain. And they were well before the flood. You'll read of them in your Bible, boy, in Genesis chapter 4. All right? Sons of Cain, Kenites. Now, if you want to read in after the flood, where K-E-N-I-T-S, so you don't think it's a figment of my imagination, my spirit, you know, that I'm going to have my spirit come down on you and touch you with a little anointing for having said this, you'll find it in First Chronicles. I said Chronicles. Do you know what that is? It's in the Old Testament, son. It's the chronological order of how people were. And I want you to see who it was that was not of Judah, but was keeping Judah's books for him, meaning scribes, in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. And incidentally, I better tell you, you spell Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. The Hebrew is Cain, and it means sons of Cain, all right? Just to help you along there. Get real. Get yourself alive, boy. And you'll be a lot better off, and you'll have blessings from God. Now, I'm being real sweet to Corey. Don't anybody say that I was hard on him. He can't help it. He just hadn't studied the Word, and he's a little bit biblically illiterate. He can't help it. But he can now, because Pastor Murray's going to help him. Cindy from New York. If the husband divorces the wife, does that mean the wife has to live alone the rest of her life? No, of course not. Why would you want to? I mean, if that rascal was no good, there are some good men. I'm not going to say a lot, but there's a few of them out there. And does Christ, let me ask you a question, does Christ forgive sin? Well, did he tell the woman at the well that it had five husbands and was living with an old boy at that time he wasn't even married, she wasn't even married to, and he converted her and used her to convert some other people and told her, you know, go in peace. In other words, Christ forgives sin. Divorce is not the unforgivable sin as some of the dear reverends would have you believe because of their biblical illiteracy. Christ forgives our sins and you get a clean start. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Perhaps it'll help you. Mark from California. Can a person that is a mamzar, and this is a Hebrew word that means bastard, and understands the truth, be in the kingdom of God? Where does he fit in? He's leader of his own people. God doesn't necessarily mix souls, spiritual souls. Everybody, for some reason, has a reason. And thank God for those that come out and are in the kingdom. But even they, a lot of people think that that means an illegitimate child. No way. Okay? You'll have to check it out in your Hebrew. I don't want to go any deeper than that into it. Barbara from Minnesota. This is very important to me. Having no one to turn to for guidance except the chapel, I need to know if Satan can read my mind. The answer is absolutely not. As long as you don't voice it out loud, he cannot read your mind. I'm certain someone is reading it and planning thoughts. I'm lost and need help figuring it all out. Well, hey, just, you're can-do. You got to be can-do. You're a can-do type person of our Father. And what you want to do is take the oil of our people, anoint the doorpost of your house as they did at the Passover when the death angel tried to get in. The blood of the Lamb is symbolic of the olive oil of our people. Place it there and say, in the power, in the name of Jesus, nothing. Evil can come about this house. Anoint yourself and then begin thanking God for giving you comfort. Satan, my dear, you have power over him. Kick him out and let him know where to go. Okay, Tom from Nevada. I've heard you say it's not the unpardonable sin to deny Jesus Christ in the flesh. Is it then unpardonable to deny him when we're in the spiritual body? Well, Tom, Luke chapter 12 verse 10, this is important, very important. What does it say? Christ said, as I walked in the flesh on this earth, you know, people could say whatever they wanted to about me. But if you know when they deliver you up, what is he talking about? When you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, when the Antichrist appears on this earth, and you refuse the Holy Spirit to speak through you, as it is written in Mark 13, for our Father, that's unpardonable. But do you know something? It's not going to happen. There is no way, that a person that knows Satan for what he is, and only a person can commit this sin if they know him for what he is, they're going to be taking names and kicking dragons. I'm not saying that we're going to say what we're going to say because we're not to premeditate. But no one's going to commit it. Christ shortened the days because of that fact. Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Take it slow. Compare that with Mark 13 and you'll have it. Bonnie from Wisconsin. How do we know that Satan isn't already here on this earth? Oh, my dear. Haven't you read what he's going to do when he's here? Haven't you never read the Revelation 13 as to how he's going to be putting on all these shows? I mean, snapping his fingers and lightning come from heaven and have no governments in the world except his? That hasn't happened yet. It's forming. it's smoldering under the surface, but no, he isn't here. And if you're not real careful, you're going to be deceived when he does come, if you would think that these little old problems we have today don't amount to a hill of beans compared to the awesome presence when he is cast here and claiming to be Jesus. And the churches, the very churches, will be running to him to get on the rapture bus. Because he looks like we picture Jesus, and he talks like Jesus. That's why it said, it is written in the book of Daniel, that he comes in prosperously and peacefully. And that's why Jesus would say himself in Mark 13 and Matthew 24, when you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where he ought not, or it ought not, then flee. Because that's it. That's the time. That's when you'll see him. Okay, Brian from West Virginia, you said the ancient times there was a great flood over Ararat. Where can I read about this? It's in Chinese history, Brian. You'll have to go to a library. It's not in the Bible. The statement was that Chinese history goes back considerably further than ours does. I think that in our book, Tracing Our Ancestors, it might tell you in what dynasty and so forth this statement was made. You're on your own on that. Any library in ancient, the most ancient history, those dynasties in China, you'll find it. Mary from Connecticut. When Antichrist comes and can do all these miracles, is it documented anywhere that he cannot change our bodies into spiritual form to deceive us? Well, now, Satan cannot give life, okay? But he's very cunning and a deviser, and he can cause many things to seem to be something they're not. So you have to be very alert. You won't have any problem. All you have to do is understand Mark 13 and the chronological order of events, for it's the seven trumps, and you'll never have a problem. Okay? John from California. You said Satan was 95% good. Can you document this? And if so, what good has Satan ever done? John, there's only one place you could have come up with that score. I didn't say that Satan was 95% good. I said in Matthew chapter 4, when he was tempting Jesus, that 95% of what he said was true. But it was the 5% he changed. He was quoting Bible. And it doesn't take a genius to go back in the Old Testament, the verses that Satan was quoting to Jesus Christ, to find out that 5%. As a matter of fact, if I were to really put a computer to it, and my mind is, I'll let it be a computer for a minute. I'm not boasting. That is just that minds are better than computers. They don't have hard drive failures and stuff like that. Well, I better be careful. We have CVAs, and that can sure cause a hard drive failure. Never mind. Let's get with it here. I don't believe it was quite 5% untrue. If I were to actually put the pencil to it, it would be less than 5% that Satan stated was untrue. And why I said that is that Satan can deceive you with the Bible itself. That's how he tried to deceive Jesus. And I would dare say, John, that there are very few Christians that can read Matthew 4 and tell you what little bitty part that Satan changed in those verses from the Old Testament, because they're biblically illiterate. They wouldn't know the difference. So when I say what he stated was 95% true, it's because it was God's word he was quoting. It was his little 5%. And unfortunately, not many people are sharp enough, again, to catch it. All right? You are. Okay? So do it. Okay, we've got Donald and Betty. In Isaiah 30:36 says, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days and the day that the Lord bringeth up the breath of his people." breach of his people, rather, and healeth the stroke of their wound. Actually, I want you to make a note. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. I want you to do this. Isaiah, same book. Isaiah 60, verse 19. And I want you to compare it to this verse, and what you will derive is that the brightness of the light that Christ is our light at that time. We don't need the sun or the moon, all right? His brightness far overcomes it. Since you teach that Adam was formed on the eighth day from the clay of the earth, and when these flesh bodies die, they go back to clay or dust out of the earth, how can we document in Scripture that the sixth day creation was also made of clay? Well, it's real easy. It's in the first and second chapter. Adam was formed, and the other was created. There is a difference, but both from the clay, and we know from experience that that's what happens. Frederick from Texas, please explain 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Again, it's very simple. The Greek is the Greek verb is transitive, and it means the subject and the object reverts back to the person being discussed in verse 4 through 6, which was Satan, the son of perdition, standing in the holy place. Who is it that letteth? That means controls. It's Michael, Revelation 12:7. It means Michael's going to kick Satan. He's going to kick dragon right out of heaven down on earth, and that's when he'll get here. Robert from California. Question, what advice, I'm sorry, Robert, I'm out of time. We'll get yours the next time. I just given the old 1 minute sign. Boy, does this hour fly by when we're having fun. And studying our Father's Word is fun. I love you all a great deal because you enjoy studying His Word. I mean that from the heart. And I thank my Father for each one of you that enjoys making His day, our Father's day, that is to say, by telling Him, thank you for the Scripture. Thank you for the Word, Father. We just really do. But what's really important when you say that, it causes Him to love you. He appreciates you so much when you recognize Him. Don't ever forget that. Next lecture, Thanksgiving again. This most important, stay in His Word. Every day in it's a beautiful day. Do you know why? Yeshua Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. You have been viewing the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you are interested in obtaining more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer includes the Mark of the Beast audio tape, a newsletter with a written Bible study, a complete audio tape catalog, and a list of reference materials available through Shepherd's Chapel. You may request our free introductory offer by telephone. Call 1-800-643-4645, 24 hours a day to request the offer. You may also request by writing, Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. That's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us and serious Bible students around the world for our next in-depth Bible study, Monday through Friday at the same time. Thank you for watching, and God bless you.